When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome to the Ryback Show. I am your host, the big guy, Ryback. Happy Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. Streaming live. IG, Instagram, the big guy Ryback 22 with a live stream. You guys are welcome to come join this show on the other platforms. If you want to engage and interact with that, I may stop the show early. I may leave the whole thing. Sometimes I forget, let the whole show run on IG. But if you want to call in and be a part of this show, swing on over to Twitter Spaces, guys. Here at Ryback on Twitter Spaces, where you're the co-host of this show. The ebb and flow of the show goes where your questions goes: health, fitness, supplementation, pro wrestling, sport, or anything and everything in between. Twitter subscribers, thank you to all of you that subscribe to my Twitter. It's greatly appreciated. I do follow all subscribers back. This is the People's Podcast, though, and here on Ryback TV on YouTube. You guys are also part of this show. Super chats are appreciated and brought up on the screen in between taking calls as well. Here we are streaming live on Facebook at Ryback Reeves and also on Twitch at Ryback Rules. This show is available on all podcast platforms. Guys, shortly after the live version is finished, usually anywhere for 30 to 60 minutes afterwards, the show eventually hits the podcast waves out there and is available. iTunes reviews are greatly appreciated on all any podcast platforms, but iTunes reviews are the important ones that we track on everything. So if you've got an iPhone, swing on over to iTunes, leave a star rating. And if you want to write a review, if you've been a longtime listener or new listener, it's greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated on that end. This show is brought to you by Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors for all people, men and women, he, she, and thee on feedmemore.com. New customers can save 30% discount code Ryback30. Returning customers can save 20% discount code Feed Me 20, and all orders get a free Feed Me More Nutrition shaker bottle here with all orders for the month of July. Just add it as your free gift. After you add your items to your cart, your first item that will pop up, just select yes. You want your free shaker, compliments of the big guy Ryback, saying thank you for buying the best supplements on the planet, or any of the Ryback merch or the drinkware, the hats or the workout accessories that we have available on feedmemore.com. Good to see all of you. Just got done busy morning, cold tub, hot tub earlier after my morning work. Got ready, walked the dogs, nice walk. It's another scorcher out there here in Sin City with everything. Had to call the FBI over some things. We're still waiting on something, the Twitter files, but they're going to be talking to the detective. I have a call with a sergeant for the North Las Vegas Police Department also coming up. So a lot of things going on all that stuff, and hopefully we'll have the news that I can't wait to deliver at some point in time. with everything that, that is ongoing with the whole unfortunate situation with that piece of shit. So what else got we got going on? Today's show, guys, I saw the Ridge Holland stuff is something in the news. I would like to see what some of your guys' thoughts on the Ridge Holland deal, and I'll give you my insight as well if we have any questions on that. I saw Jeff Jarrett recently had doing, I don't know if it was during an interview or during his show, had talked about not very kind words about me coming back to wrestling, and always have been greatly appreciative of Jeff. And I remember Jeff watching him when I was little, and I loved Razor Ramon, and I was always, I remember when I was a kid and Jeff, they beat Razor. Him, I don't know if the Road Dog was involved with it, and I just remember, but I always liked him. I always liked Jeff, but I was always rooting for Razor in those battles. But I mean, it's crazy that, you know, I was just a little kid watching him, and, you know, at that time, the WWF, and all these years later, you know, he's still going strong with everything. And so it's pretty cool. But I've got to meet him. We've talked to him multiple times, and he's a smart man. I'll say that. He's a smart man. And without him having to say those kind words, he's a smart man with all of it. He understands what this business is, and he gets it. And so the appreciate the kind words from Double J, Jeff Jarrett. Botch. That's what happens when you do a live show. You fumble over your words sometimes, but you just keep on going. I have met Raven at a signing. I don't know him though. I always liked Raven growing up as well in WCW and his time in WWE. And of all the times, so who do you think chooses to call during this show? I didn't turn my phone off. That actually pisses me off because I've been trying to get a hold of the detective with all of that. So we're going to have to do, which they know when I do the show, they've actually, so that wasn't by accident. That actually pisses me off. I should have just, I don't want that on the air though, what we're going to talk about, but I'm going to have to, damn it. That bothers me because I literally was waiting. I waited a few minutes, oh, that's the FBI. Never mind, that was the FBI, and they just told me they have very good news. Part of me wants to stop this show and get the good news, but I will finish the show, and I will get that good news, which I have a feeling I know what that is. It's the one piece that we've been waiting for. So, giddy up. The ride's about to start. All right, let's get going. Sorry, I was on the phone for quite a while before with them because these Twitter files, it was pissing me off. We've waited a long, long time for this. So that is very, 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 I'm looking forward to getting that. Let's get going with today's show, guys. I know you're sick of hearing me jibber jabber. Let's see here. Bring in James, welcome to the Ryback Show.
Hey, Ryback.
How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I have a feeling I'm going to be doing really good after this show is over.
Nice. I just found out. I hope you and Goldberg have a good fight this year. I hope you and Goldberg should fight.
No, thank you. That's the goal. That is the goal, and I appreciate some of you guys making really, really cool edits that you are making, and we will see what happens and what is. I really the timing of everything is very good, and I put it on my Twitter earlier. There's been a breakthrough for me personally, my shoulder, the scar tissue that I told you guys that has been stuck around my scapula and rhomboid. That's holding onto my scapula, that has just started finally breaking up after like the 10 weeks of wet cupping. That tissue started breaking up on Sunday. And so Sunday and yesterday, I got a lot, and it's still not released, but it's breaking, and it happens in layers. So that I'm shoulder feels very, very good though. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how my workout is today with the movement. But it's happening. It's everything. I keep putting pressure on myself and going every day. And I really am. It's just crazy how the timing of everything is lining up. So we'll see what happens.
That's good. Are you gonna what company are you gonna join this year?
We're gonna have to wait and see, brother, on everything. I got to get cleared first here, and then we got to see what I got to see. Me and Goldberg hopefully can have a sit down and see where everything is possibly at on that. We have to see, because you know I know from who I talk to, he's talking to a lot of people as far as WWE, AEW. And he'd be foolish not to. I think he's just kind of sitting back and he's weighing out all his options and seeing what is available, what's not available. And, you know, obviously, and then seeing if he does it on his own. And so he's going to be the one at the end of the day that makes the call on that. And I'll be fine either way. I just think it makes the most sense and I want it more than anyone. And if I have anything to say about it, I want to make it happen. But he's the one that has to have the final say. So
that's pretty good. I always like to see you in different kind of companies, because you didn't go out at WWE, but WWE doesn't like you that much. I don't know why, but I'm thinking about you should join AEW or Impact Wrestling, because there's a lot of good guys you can maybe join or something, fight for someone. If Goldberg joins those, then you should be good with Goldberg on that kind of shows, right?
We'll just have to wait and see. Yeah, I'm not too worried about anything though. I think everything's going to work out the way that it's supposed to work out. So,
yeah. How's your Tuesday going?
It's going good, buddy. Going good. I always appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead though. I'm going to bring on another caller here. Keep the show flowing with everything. And I always appreciate the support. All right.
Yeah. You too, bro.
All right, James, you take care.
You too.
Bye bye. Good deal. Thank you, James. Good to see all of you guys. Hello. Hello. Let me take a look. Welcome everybody on Twitter Spaces. I did forget to bring the woman I wanted to talk to with her kid. He's not on yet. Raghav? Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Welcome to the Ryback Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, how are you doing, first of all?
I'm doing great, thank you.
That's great. You know, I'm not one to prey on somebody's downfall here, but that's, it's karma what's happening to Chase, you know? So.
Yeah, we don't even have to say his name. It's all coming together, so you act like that, there's going to be ramifications and repercussions, and he's about to find out, so.
Yeah, well. I sent out a tweet a while ago. I wanted to talk Feed More Nutrition on your show, if you'd be up for it.
What's your question?
Well, I was thinking, I could talk about my experiences with, I've used a couple of your products, so I just want to let everybody else know how they've been going.
Just go, yeah, whatever you want to say. I'm not going to stop you.
Okay. Well, first of all, I appreciate what you've been doing with your supplements there. As far as the clean ingredients, I haven't seen any other companies that have been so focused on the clean ingredient aspects of the supplements.
Thank you.
And I can't speak for all the supplements, because so far I've taken the Wake Up Unlimited Energy, the Finish It, and your the ISO Hungry Protein, which is, I think, maybe the greatest protein that I've found on the market today.
Thank you. I want the best for myself, and I put a lot into this, and it costs more money to produce and to make and everything, but it's worth it. And unfortunately, the majority of the supplement companies don't think that way, but it is, I can't control them, but I can control what I put out there, and I'm trying to make a positive change in the supplement industry. So I'm glad that there's people like you that recognize that, and to give you guys a healthy option, a healthier option far healthier than anything that a lot of the other companies are putting out. And there's some other really great companies. A lot of them are more like there's natural holistic companies that might make like a protein powder. They don't really have a full line or a large line. But there are other ones that do the right thing. And so there are some, but the majority really, really just don't care. And it's always has bothered me. So.
Yeah, it seems like they just want to make money, which is fine. Like you want to make money as a business, but
oh, of course,
if you're providing something
of value and doesn't hurt people,
the benefit of others.
That's what I've said all along, and this is my capitalism is great when everybody wins. Capitalism is bad when you sell something that hurts people, or that is not good for people, and you just you take their money on something that is not actually giving value to them overall long term. And that's a big problem. A lot of the problems that exist in this world are from capitalism for bad. And I just think it doesn't need to. We capitalism is great when it's done the right way. When you have pure intentions, and making money is a beautiful thing and it's a great thing. I don't think most people don't have a problem with making money with it when it's done the right way. And you know, if I'm giving you a product, if you can't sleep and you've had issues sleeping your whole life, and I give you a product that helps you sleep and actually is healthy for you and does not hurt you in any way, shape, or form, and I solve your problem, I have a feeling you think I've earned that money, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so whatever the situation, that is what I try to look at. I try to be a problem solver for good, because these have solved a lot of my problems. And that is when I chose to go into business. I go, I can do this and be this way and stay true to myself. And I think if people kind of if people can do that with whatever the business they're in, I think good business can be done. And a lot of it's good. It's just better than capitalism for bad. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to take too much more of your time. I just have one final question for you. Can you explain to me, because I want to try your Pumplex City as well. So can you explain to me the difference between that and the Wake Up?
It's non-stimulant on the Pumplex City. With it, so we have no caffeine, whereas the Wake Up Unlimited Energy is high caffeine on it. We also, though, have 6 grams of L-citrulline in it, as Vanadil powder as well. And there's there's several other ingredients off the top of my head. I'd have to look at the bottle with it. But the L-citrulline, there's beta-alanine, 2 grams of beta-alanine as well, which helps for aerobic and non-aerobic function. And it's essentially, it's a pre-workout without the caffeine for people that are caffeine sensitive. The only thing, it does not have the arginines, whereas the Wake Up has the 3 grams of the L-arginine in it. But in the Wake Up has 3 grams of also the citrulline, whereas Pumplex is just straight up 6 grams of citrulline. There's a lot of people that really, really like citrulline, and that 6 grams, a lot of the research shows, is where the citrulline is very powerful with that. So it's essentially, if you're for people that I go with, the Wake Up is overall the pre-workout pump formula, and then the Pumplex City is the non-stimulant pump formula for people that can't take caffeine or work out at night. Because that's one of the, like, I used to have a problem. I would go work out at night at times when I was younger, and I would drink an energy drink, a pre-workout or an energy drink before the gym. And then I'd be up all night. I couldn't sleep good with it. And so that's where the Pumplex is. So depending on your schedule, some people, I do both in the day. You know, I do my Wake Up in the morning and half a serving and half a serving in the afternoon. And then I do a full serving of the Pumplex and 10 cal creatine, right, going intra workout, pre-intra workout. I sip it during my workout. So, but it's you can take both, but it's one, if you don't have an issue with caffeine, I would say the Wake Up. If you are caffeine sensitive, go the Pumplex City.
Okay. Cause I really liked how the Wake Up has worked for me. So I think I might stick with that actually.
Yeah. You're fine. Then you wouldn't have a need. I would say save your money then and just stick with the Wake Up.
All right. Well, I want to wish you the best for your continued health, and hopefully we can get that Ryback versus Goldberg match soon.
Just got to keep talking about it. Keep getting healthier. Keep talking about it, and we'll see what happens.
All right, my man. Good to see you.
You too, brother. Take care. Good deal. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Shawnee in the house. Shawnee on here. He's one of my favorites to talk to on here. I like Shawnee's energy. I'm just making sure in the chat. Yeah, I just saw something. I'm seeing some of your comments in here, guys. I haven't seen the full thing. I haven't heard it, so I don't want to make a full comment yet on some of the Booker stuff with it. I do have a proposal that I think is quite good, though, from what I have seen. Let me get on Shawnee. Get Shawnee. Take that pack. Let me get Shawnee on. What's up, brother? How are you?
I just got back. With a sign that says Ryback versus Goldberg.
you're doing the Lord's work, Shawnee.
Everybody was honking at me and everything. It was crazy.
Oh, I can't imagine. This is what I need. I need people like you out there doing this.
Hell yeah. Man.
Outside protesting outside Goldberg's house. All peaceful, guys. Peaceful protest outside with Ryback signs. Feed Ryback more.
Exactly. How you doing, man? How's your Tuesday going?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I've been on the phone with the damn FBI stuff going on. Anytime like this stuff is, it's been, I just can't wait to get it all over with. So
yeah.
I think the Twitter files came in. I think that's the good news they just told me they had. So I've got,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great,
that we've been waiting for this for weeks. So that's going to be big.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Have you ever thought of wrestling like in Japan, big guy, like in like overseas, like with like Noah and like New Japan? Like, have you ever thought of that route as well?
A lot of people talk about that. I'll tell you, I like being home.
Yes, I don't blame you.
I've wrestled over there already. I'll tell you, I this is nothing again. I think it's great. I think if there's opportunity and I see very little value in that for me out there for what I want to do in wrestling. I could do everything I need to do in the United States and be closer to home. You know, I think it's great for, I think the people I've never, I'm just honest, like about, it's never been something where I felt like I don't have a history of anything like where it's meaningful to me or like that. You know what I mean?
I completely get it. Yeah. And it's out of your comfort zone as well. Right. Like, so like you're not by your family, right? Like,
yeah. And I don't like being far away from home. I never have with that. Yep. And, you know, if I have control over the situation, that's not to say that I wouldn't go over there for a match, but I wouldn't want to go spend any significant period of time. Like some guys go live over there. Like, that wouldn't happen. There's no chance in hell.
Some guys live there for like years, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Isn't, but you know, to go over for a match or two, that's a different situation. But a lot of people have asked, like, would you go over there? Extent, like, no, with that. But yeah, I love it. I think everything they do is great. It's just, I think we have that all here. Why, if I can go wrestle in California, why would I not want to go wrestle in California to go wrestle? Like, I can give two shits about saying I'm in Japan. I've already been there. I've already wrestled there. I've wrestled in the Tokyo Dome twice. Like, it's great. It's all arenas are the same to me. I always tell people, Madison Square Garden's the same as the fucking Thomas and Mack Center here in Vegas to me, or the T-Mobile. Like, I don't care. I don't get caught up. There's a lot of people like that, but a lot of people are afraid and get caught up. And like, I just don't care. Like, I just like, energy is energy. The arenas are the arenas. It's all fucking made up stuff in just that city. Like, that's just, you know, I'd rather be able to get home as quick as possible and enjoy the life that I have.
I get it. I think some people use that comparison, big guy, because like some wrestlers have went to Japan,
yeah,
and they've like resurrected their careers, and then now they're back in like WWE or AEW, you know. So,
but none of that matters, though. And so here's the deal that matters: it matters what you get on the contract and what you the right. Like a lot of people think there's so many people so help like. The difference between was I didn't get fired. I walked out and I kept my brand and I kept everything intact. There's guys that get fired or they lose their identity or they have to come up with a whole new identity where it's an entirely different mindset on that.
I see. What
and so mean. That's like, and I look at, I go, how many guys have like, so, okay, I'm going to give you an example real quick, just so, cause so Tenzai went out over there, Matt Bloom, A-Train went over to Japan for a long, long time. Right. After his WWE, when he was released from WWE, whenever with that, WWE rehired him as Tenzai. Now, and he had a very successful run in Japan. I would say that run that he had in WWE with that, with how he was booked, was nowhere near as well as it was in Japan.
Oh, that's Prince Albert you're talking
about. Yeah, Prince Albert.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know his name.
But so, like, it doesn't, like, a lot of people think you go and you, it's just, it's great. Go where you can go and make money and do, but none of that translates back to WWE.
I see.
It really doesn't. They're going to treat you how they're going to treat you, regardless. EC3 learned that the hard way.
Like, type that they look for, it seems like, you know.
But yeah, I think my style would go very well in Japan. I think that there's big money over there with certain matchups for sure.
Well, look how big, like they love big white American men. Like, I feel like masculine, like muscular men, you know.
Yeah. They're the Vince McMahon mindset of Japan.
Exactly. That's exactly it, you know. And it's amazing. But yeah, man, I just wanted to, I watched a few more of your videos and you know, you had me crying this morning. I was watching the ASMR chip video. it has the most views on your channel, right?
Yeah.
It has almost 4 million views, that fucking video. I was like, holy shit, 120,000 people liked that video.
I did that as a joke. And it's my the best thing that I've done on YouTube. Brother, I literally go, oh, I need to make a video this week. I didn't know what to do. And then I go, oh, at the time I was doing, like, trying to do some random things because my channel was growing really, really fast. And so I was like, somebody told me I should do an ASMR video. It's really popular. And so I literally did it making fun of the ASMR community. It wasn't done seriously, but I didn't know. I go, what the fuck am I going to eat? And I looked and I go, this fan sent me, I had a box of Canadian snacks that I hadn't opened that a fan sent me to my PO box. So I had all this junk food in this big box of candies and different, like, pretzels and chips from Canada. So it was a Canadian bag of Ruffles all dressed. And I go, fuck, I'm going to do this. And that, there it is.
Bro, that honestly, it's so epic. I was laughing my ass off the whole time. And man, it just shows, like, that side of your personality that people, like, I don't know if people could tell it was a joke, but it was fucking hysterical.
I no, brother, people comment on it that it's like they listen to that to go to bed every night. And I'm just like, Jesus, it's my, this is not even my supplement manufacturer. I'm friends with the owner of the supplement, the guy that manufactures my supplements. And he goes, brother, he goes, I'm not even kidding you. He goes, kids of this generation, he goes, we're so fucked. He goes, my kids fall asleep to your chip video. They love your chip video. He goes, he's like, I walked in and they were watching it before bed. And he goes, like, like, dude, did I tell you, I get stopped in the gym by, like, young kids, of like teenagers. I think they're going to fucking, like, put me over for wrestling because they're staring at me so hard. And, like, they come over and they go, you're the chip guy. They don't even, they have no idea that I've ever fucking wrestled my entire life. They just fucking, they know me from the ASMR chip video.
Isn't it amazing how the internet can be, like, the best, like if there's so many positive things and then you have the negative things, obviously, but, like, something like that, like, you did a video for 4 minutes just joking around and it blows up. Like, you would have never thought that video would be your most viewed video, right?
Not at all. There's people, too, that, like, they, like, I've been told, and I'm on billboards in other countries when that, like, during COVID, that was really popular. So there, I was told that I was in, like, other countries. I was on billboards, just the picture of me eating the chip. I don't understand it one bit. I have no, but, like, you can't control those things. But, like, some people, like, make fun and they go, oh, you're a meme. And, like, I go, one, that video has been my most popular video. And, like, that's a good thing. And I go, the joke's going to be, like, if I go back to wrestling and actually land a fucking Ruffles deal, like, that's going to be the real joke.
Exactly. And it's so what I did was, like, I look at the most popular videos first, like, then I go through them all, you know?
Yeah.
But other people do that too. And you get fans that weren't wrestling, like you said, like little kids who don't know you from your time in wrestling. Now they know you as the chip guy, the guy who does reviews online. And then now you have a whole different fan base, like we were talking about yesterday. Right.
So, yeah. That chip video is going to make it to TV too. That's going to be used. It's going to be, if I get this Goldberg match and I do my what I have in mind, his first, when he issues his first statement in the ring, that chip video is going to pop up on the fucking Tron of me just eating the chips, fucking, just fucking trolling him. That's,
the lights go out.
Yeah. And you just hear the crunch and then me on the with the spotlight, just eating the Ruffles, like not giving a fuck.
Yo, if you all of a sudden the lights go out, the pyro starts and you hear the crunch and then
me and LeBron James just doing commercials for fucking Ruffles into the early 2020s.
Oh, that would be great, man. I just have one question about weight loss, big guy.
Okay.
I'm a bigger guy, so like I've been athletic my whole life. I'm a bigger guy. I played sports my whole life. I'm about 300 pounds, and I'm like 5'8".
Okay.
You know, I've been like, now I'm like 34, but I've been able to like keep like my blood pressure, everything good, right?
Okay.
Recently, I find myself being more like, I guess so that I'm older now. Like, I just like to be at home. I find myself like being like less active, you know?
Yep.
Like, what are some ways that keep you going? Like, and like, what's a good way to start for, you know, because I haven't worked out in a gym in like, I can't tell you how long, you know?
Yeah.
But I walk and stuff. I do things like that, you know, to keep everything going. But what would you like, is there any like supplements that you would say maybe take or anything that you would do to get me going?
Yeah. So one, I think so. If you're not working out, and let me ask you this: do you enjoy working out? If you're when you did prior,
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Why? Yeah. So let me ask you: why do you think you're not working out as much now?
I think it's because I'm lazy. I think that's.
You just think you've gotten a bit of a hole and you haven't done it for so long. It's just kind of that's become your new normal, right?
Yes, and yeah. I was just I'm a mortgage broker, and I like all I was doing was just working,
yep.
And I just put everything else to the side.
I think so. I do believe that getting back in the gym, and even if you can just go 3 days a week, and like where you go a day, you take it like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or something, where you can start getting some structure, and you give yourself, you know, 90 minutes 3 days a week, and you get going on a routine and get going because. And you stay consistent with it and you get that to become your new normal. What I would do though is and we have like the Wake Up Unlimited Energy is like the pre-workout. If you can handle caffeine, I take half a serving. I do half a serving twice a day. So I go through one serving a day. You can either take the full serving at once or do half a serving multiple times once or twice a day. I think taking that prior to wanting to go to the gym, it's going to wake you up.
It's going to give me the boost.
Like if you take the full scoop, you're not going to be able to sit still. Like you're going to want to go train.
Awesome.
But that's so great. I think you got to get in that. And I think you got to get over that for you. And the supplement is going to be great, but you got to get over that mental hurdle of getting active again. Also,
I agree, big guy. I agree 100%.
And in fitting it into your day where you're going to stick with it the most. But the thing, Shawnee, is like, you've got to get motivated to have a reason to keep doing it. A lot of people, and like, you've got to find something in you. Like a lot of people,
my kids are the reason why I want to be healthy.
Yeah, so that's perfect. What I'm looking for, but some people like your blood pressure is good. So you haven't some people need to be like borderline diabetic or have a heart attack or for something to kind of like wake them up. Like it feels like you understand that and I'm getting, the older you get, the more difficult it's going to get.
It's going to be worse. Yeah. I don't want to get it to that point where I'm like, oh my God, I'm almost there. And I have to start working out now. Like I know I'm going to get there if I keep going the way that I'm going, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to get to that point. And it's like, I'm self-aware. I know it's like me. And I know once I get back into it, I love it. I love that feeling of like accomplishment that you
mentally
get when you're working out.
Yeah.
It's way more mental than it is physical for me. Like I like lifting weights and running and all that stuff. Like after I'm done, I feel like I'm a champion. Like
it is because you've done so. It's a euphoric feeling and that's why a lot of depression and things that people have or sadness or things are tied to that with physical activity, you'd be amazed. Or like another thing too, is like, there's just something about going into a gym or being around other people and being active and getting something done and getting accomplished, feeling like even like the earlier you get it done, that you know, you feel like your day, no matter what, is going to be better then yes. like, and I always find like when I haven't worked out yet, if I've like got things adding up in the day, I'm like, I got to fucking work out. It, like it always, my mindset is always way better after than it was prior. If I've got like a stressful day or things going on. Another thing you could do too. And do you have kids? You said,
yeah, I have two stepkids. Yep.
So like how old are they?
16 and 10.
Are there anything that they do like active wise, like sports or hobby wise that.
Yeah, they play. So I was a baseball player growing up.
Yep,
so
same.
Like I play with him, but like, baseball is not the most active sport.
Yeah, you know? You can actually get in worse shape if you're watching too. Like
exactly. So, and I played all sports. I played basketball. I didn't play football, even though my body was meant to play football. I never played football.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's all mindset. And Andrew Tate actually. Actually, I don't agree with everything that he says, but he tells the young kids now, like, work out. Like, depression is something that's in your head. Like,
I agree with him on that. Yeah.
I promise you. And I 100% agree with that. Like, if you can take everything off your mind and put it into something else, like, of course you're not going to feel as sad as you would, because it's improvement. You're improving something.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I think too, like if there's like outside of weight training on like the days that you're able to do that, because what you're going to find, what's going to start to happen is you're, once you start getting in that routine and that starts becoming your new normal and your weight's going to start coming down, your energy is going to improve even further. Like just doing like little things, man, like going on a hike or going on a walk every, like a 20 minute walk every, like I walk my dogs every day for 20, 15, 20, 25 minutes, depending on the heat level of like, it's just, I have little things throughout the day where I'm active. I'll even sometimes just go, I go in the backyard and like, I go stretch when I'm out there with the dogs and I'll stretch and just walk around and move. But like, I just have different, that's not counting like my weight training and my conditioning that I do, or like, yeah. you know, another thing too, I'll tell you, but like, just setting little things aside that where, you know, you say, I'm just going to go do a 20 minute walk every day. Like you and the wife and the kids, you got like, guys, let's just go for a 20, 30 minute walk every day.
Yep.
You'd be amazed at the habit, how routine that becomes. And like you guys do, I would do it like with a family, something like that. You guys every night when it cools off or when it's nice out, whenever you go on a 20, 25, 15 minute walk, something, no phones, just go bullshit around the block.
Just go walk.
Like you'd be amazed at how that changes your life. And like that, like you'll start looking forward to it with things. And another thing you could do, Shawnee, that is really good is the sauna. And do, I don't know if the gym you would go to would have one. A lot of them do.
I have one in my office building. So like I could literally just go downstairs like and do it.
Yeah. Like doing the sauna multiple times a week has been shown. I forget the off the top of my head. It's something crazy though, that if you do the sauna, like 4 20-minute sessions per week. And I just break it up. I try to do it 2 or 3 times a week. And I do longer sessions where I sit like essentially if you can do an hour a week, though, like 60 minutes a week total, however you break that up. But like, it's something like staggering, like it's like more than half the risk of a heart attack. Like it's crazy because you release a lot of the sweat out, a lot of the toxins.
The key
is when you do it is to replenish yourself with water and electrolytes afterwards, but it gets rid of a lot of the bad stuff in us. And they're finding, Rogan talks about it. Tony Robbins always talks about it. I've been doing it forever though. And I'm telling you, it really, really, really works. And it helps. It burns a lot of calories in there as well. And so it is one of the best things to tell people to start doing that need to lose weight that maybe haven't started working out yet, is if they start doing the sauna and they start implementing some positive dietary changes, they start losing a good amount of weight. On it.
Big guy, you're 100% right, because on the UFC, when they do those challenges to lose the weight quick, that they go right into the sauna.
Yeah, and a lot of it, so a lot of that too, like with how they do it too, they lose a lot of water weight with that, they're not replenishing it right away to the level they should. They're trying to cut a significant amount of weight, and you can do some crazy things in those things.
Yeah,
I've lost,
like, short-term weight.
Yeah. But what it does though is it burns a lot of, like, I forget, it's something crazy. Like you could burn like 500, 600, 700 calories an hour. Like something like it's,
wow.
Yeah. And don't quote me on that. It's a lot though.
No, I get it. I get it.
No, there's somebody, no, not for you. There's somebody in the chat that will fucking say, like Ryback said, you burn 700 calories.
They'll take you on with your word on.
Yeah. Like, so I'm telling you, it's ballparkish on the, fucking on that. The
man, people gotta stop taking shit so seriously, man. Like, it's insane. Like, I can't imagine being in your shoes, big guy. Honestly, I know being famous is awesome and cool, but like, I think that's the cons of it that like makes me wouldn't want to be famous. You know?
Yeah, but I haven't been on TV in 7 years, and I feel like it's worse than ever.
I know, it's weird, right? Isn't that weird? Like, I don't know. I guess people are just natural born haters as well, and they don't like to see people do well. And when they see people do well, they feel like shit themselves, and they want to bring you down. Misery loves company, yeah. Right? Like, and that's the truest saying that there is. And I hope you do well, big guy. Thanks for always having me on, and I love talking to you. Hopefully one day I get to meet you, and we can shoot the shit in person.
We will, buddy. I'm telling you, get going back in the gym. Get a little routine going and get some sauna. Try to do the sauna in the gym just 3 days a week on the same days, or like do the sauna on the days you're not training. I'm telling you, within like 3 months, I guarantee, I can't wait to talk to you if you can do this for 3 months.
I'm going to do it. Updated on it, I promise.
All right, I know. Let's do it.
Stay with it.
All right.
All right, big guy. Have a great Tuesday, man.
You too, buddy. Be safe. Later. Always love having Shawnee on here. Good deal. Thank you very much, buddy. If you guys want to call in, if you're watching on any of the other platforms, swing on over to @Ryback on Twitter. I have a Twitter Spaces going. You just join the show and you hit that request button that you'd like to come on. And you could be the next caller on the Ryback Show, the People's Podcast. Just taking a look at the chats there. Bring our man D Foley back on. See what's going on.
Hey, big guy. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
Oh, I'm well, man. Today's my birthday today.
Ah, happy birthday. How old are you?
38.
Man, happy birthday. That's a good one. You still got a couple years before the big 4-0, so.
Oh, yeah, man. It's creeping, you know. Time waits for no man.
You got any gray hairs yet, or are you staying all right?
You know what I do? I have one. It's just one long one that's just growing out of nowhere, like underneath my goatee.
You haven't plucked it out? You're just letting it grow?
No, I'm just letting it grow. I don't know, big guy. I've embraced everything.
You know? Have you given it a name? I feel like if it's the only one. This is...
I haven't come up with a name. Oh, shit. That's a good one. Man, shout out to Shawnee, the last caller, but he kind of took my question from me. He had mentioned in regards to maybe you possibly, once everything clears up with you, maybe going out to Japan and fighting out there. I guess just to piggyback off that, I would love to see you out there just because I guess the quote-unquote strong style.
Yeah.
I can see you matching up with a lot, you know, and I'm not saying that's just all you, big guy, but I'm just saying, like, just in comparison to some of those superstars out there, I think you would mix it up really well and, you know, with those other
yeah.
Wrestlers out there.
You know, I was watching yesterday, you know, somebody else who I know exactly what you guys are saying. And like, I was watching Gunther last night and I go, fuck, man, that guy, I would be in there. I would have him chop me 50 fucking times in a row. And then I would just bump the shit out of him. And just like, I get fired up. Like when I watch that stuff, like I would be like, oh, you want to fucking chop? Let's fucking chop. But I'll let you chop me more. I'll let you chop until you blow the fuck up. Like on that, like you let, cause if people, I mean this in a good way, like, cause like, we'll give the people all their money's worth on this. Cause it's, he brings it when he's out there. I like his style a lot.
Yeah, me too. I do too. Yes.
If he can just keep, he's doing really well. He just keeps going like how he is. And I hope he keeps getting in better shape. He's lost a lot of weight from where he was, and he's had a hell of a run with the IC title. So, but I watch Sheamus. I love wrestling Sheamus. Like guys, when I wrestled Drew a little bit, I always enjoyed wrestling Drew, even though he's stepped up his game tremendously from even when he was there prior, when I was there. But like guys like that, I love the physical aspect of the business that I feel like I remember when I was younger, man, remember when like Goldberg and Scott Steiner squared off for the first time, I was like, man, that's the shit I want to see. Like, it's just that sometimes feels like it's not as often in these days. So yeah, I like that. I like it, man. I understand where you guys are coming from when you guys do say that though.
Oh yeah, most definitely, big guy. Well, I'm not gonna hold you up. Thank you once again for allowing me to come on and interact with you. This is such a pleasure and an honor for me. So I just want to thank you for that, man. And I hope that you have a good rest of your day.
You too, brother. Enjoy your birthday and look forward to speaking again.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Got to come up with a name for that gray hair, though. If you're gonna let that thing, I would have plucked that out already. Maybe frame it, put it in a little box, save it, name it something like, I don't know, what's a fucking old name? Watson the gray hair. Just, I don't know why the hell I came up with Watson. I don't know why Watson feels like a old name, but I feel like Watson for your first gray hair. Oh, a woman comes, she's like, oh, that's cute. Yeah, that's Watson, little Watson. Say hi. I like that you have saved it though. You've embraced it, but I feel like you've got time though. You're still young with that. So that one that just kind of snuck through, you might be a few years away from more. So you might pluck it to people. You don't want them, you know how people are, judgmental pricks out there. Let's get going. Taking a look here. Good to see everybody in the chat here as well, here on Twitter Spaces. Bring on Rebecca. Someone says Watson's definitely an old name. Hello, hello.
What's up?
How are you doing today?
Good, a little busy, but I got a few minutes. Always got a few minutes for El Hombre Grande.
Oh, well, I hope everything's going all right.
Yeah, me and my fiance, we just got to take a little trip to DHS to get a few things sorted out, you know. It's nothing bad. It's just, we work off, the state helps us out a little bit, and we just got to renew some things. It's nothing too bad. I wanted to actually talk about the topic of yesterday. I was just a little late. I wanted to talk about the Rick Steiner, Giselle Shaw.
Yep.
As someone, because me, I actually, it's no secret I identify as trans. I wanted to talk about that situation just very, very briefly. I don't have a lot of time today, but I did want to talk about that.
Hold on, Rebecca, the speaker's getting is.
Oh, hello?
Okay, the speaker was making a lot of noise.
Sorry about okay. that. My headset must be going out.
I can hear you now. What are your thoughts on it?
Okay, so take it from me, I'm someone who identifies that way too, and I just think that the thing with Rick Steiner is he's never been around someone like that, and he grew up in an older time where at that time, it was something, kind of shunned upon, people didn't know no better, and I just feel like he just needs education on it, and I don't think he's a bigot per se, I just think he's going off of how he's raised,
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's good. It's good for people to hear and for you being who you are on that and speaking, because I just it's like a common sense thing that I can understand if it was something that was happening multiple times and he had a history or you know what I mean, where it's and he apologized right away. I go, well, it seems like he realized he made a mistake and he's willing to try to whether he can't force everybody to change the way that they think or whatnot, but you can at least say look, this isn't it. What was once maybe tolerated 20, 30 years ago, it's no longer tolerated. And you can't act like that way. And so I don't know. It's just hopefully, cause I hate to see things. I just don't like people wanting to cancel people. And this guy had such a history in pro wrestling.
Internet,
how much do you
pay for it? Internet, I pay $90 with costs.
We're getting...
Sorry, I just had a stranger asking something on the street. But no, I agree when it comes to Giselle Shaw. I mean, I just feel like, you know, because, like, you know, coming out to my family, they had a hard time accepting it at first, but the more they learn, the more knowledgeable they get, they just look at me as the same person. It's just, I just identify a little differently. And I don't hate Rick Steiner for that. Like, you know, a lot of people who, like me, you know, they hate Rick Steiner for that. I don't. I just think he just needs the proper education on it. You know yeah. what I mean?
And I think that's why it's... You have a good mindset with that. I just think it's something. If it was a continuous problem, well, you know what I mean. That's a different situation that I think needs to be addressed. And like, but so, and hopefully, I don't know. The world is just, there's so much hate on things like that, like with things, and you just would rather. Yeah. So, I'm hoping it all gets handled appropriately, and everybody can move forward and learn from it, and because like things happen, mistakes happen, people. They were words, and like it wasn't a physical altercation or anything. Like, we can learn from it, and let's move forward, and hopefully, and it doesn't happen again.
And you know, like I said, I actually have a birthday coming up in a few days too, on the 22nd. Because I remember D. Foley was saying he turned 38 before me. My birthday's on the 22nd. I turned 29. I'm getting close to 30 myself.
Well, happy early birthday as well to you. That is right around the corner.
And unlike D. Foley, I actually have a few gray hairs. I have a few Watsons.
The old Watsons.
Yeah, I have about like 8 or 9 Watsons on me. That's why I
got
my hair.
No, it's going to happen to all of us. So I'm holding off as long. I'm taking my Moringa capsules. Moringa is really, really good for keeping your hair. It's natural color. A lot of people don't know that. So I take a lot of Moringa.
And before I go, I just wanted to ask one more thing. I was, you know, it might be a little controversial topic, but bear with me. I was, you know, I don't peek into AEW very often, but I seen a clip the other day of our good friend CM Phillip. He was, you know, it was during the commentary team were talking, and there was someone in the crowd, and he went to go hug the man, and the man happened to be, you know, the son of Chris Benoit, David Benoit.
Yeah.
I think it's very unfair how the wrestling world, you know, like promoters and stuff treat David Benoit, because it's not exactly his fault, you know, for what his father did, and people won't even let him in. Like, WWE outright won't even let the guy in the building, and it's not his fault for what his dad did. And I just feel very sorry. Like, he's someone I desperately want to meet and tell him,
yeah,
I'm very sorry for everything you've been through, because he shouldn't be punished for the sins of his father, if you know what I mean.
I had him on my show a couple years ago, maybe not even quite. Maybe it was a couple years ago, maybe even a little over that now. And I talked to him. And we have each other's number, and I know he wants to get into wrestling, and I think he is a really, really I told him too. I understand why he probably hasn't done it yet. One, I can't imagine, you know, him and what he's been through, and like, so, and I try to get, like, we know how wrestling fans are with this.
Oh yeah, they're toxic.
Yeah, they're and so like, and I say fans, there's a lot of great fans. So I'm talking more about the negative, the mark portion, the hateful people. They are they are brutal, and he's already gotten it. And like, he's not even in, you know, so the more involved that he gets in wrestling, he's gonna get more hate than he's ever gotten his entire life. And it's gonna be the most fucked up. So he needs to be, and I'm sure, and he's well aware of it. With it, but it's it's, we all know that it's completely, it's unacceptable, it's not right, and he had nothing to do with
his fault. He was living with his mother at the time.
Yeah, you know? And he's I want him. I hope I get to train with him. I hope that's because I know he wanted to move to Vegas, and I hope I get to train with him a little bit too. I know that the wrestlers will embrace him. Wrestlers will do, and not just me. Every wrestler I feel would embrace him and want to make his experience and get into the wrestling and let him get going.
And I believe he deserves a fair chance, just like anyone else, you know?
Well, I don't even see why it won it. Like, there's nothing that this guy shouldn't be involved in wrestling if he wants to be. But I think it's a good step that he's there. And, you know, I don't know. And I know he'd mentioned it before on the show, that WWE, and I don't know if they don't want to be involved with them. And like, I think AEW would be a very good place. And I hope
I think so too.
And I think they will embrace him and everything like they're doing with the Owen Hart Cup. And like, that's all stuff that like you would just be think that would be a WWE thing. It just shows how fucked up everything is with everything.
Because he's such like a pure soul. Like he's someone I desperately want to meet and just tell him, hey man, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm sorry you've had a rough life, because you know, I can't even imagine, you know, his father was one of the, honestly, if you ask me the best wrestler of all time, his dad's in the top three.
He's the one I loved. I loved him too. Yeah.
It was a very intense, you know, very intense guy, very serious. And like I said, considerably one of the best to do it. It's just unfortunate, you know, his last hours define who he is, you know.
But, you know, that's his, and for people that we all know him as the wrestler, that was his father and his brothers. And like he to have to live through something like that, only he, like, I can't even imagine. So how brave and how much courage he has, and like, because a lot of people would probably that would hold him back for the rest of their lives, and they wouldn't want to be on any interviews. And he's gotten past that, and like, because I think he really loves wrestling, and I just think he's just making sure he's ready to go. Because I told him too. I go, when you go all the way, it's unfortunately, you see how like people are, they're going to come, they're not going to hold back on him.
Oh yeah.
So
I can't imagine him going to AEW. And can you imagine the kind of promo someone like MJF would cut on a guy?
But not even that. I'm just talking like just the people, like, oh. the issue's never going to go away. So he just has to make sure that, but that shouldn't cause him to, like, I think just the less time he spends on social media overall, the more real relationships he has with good people in wrestling. And then he can live a very fulfilled, happy life and contribute and be a big part of pro wrestling, I believe, in the future. There's going to be a mental – he's going to definitely it bothers me just seeing that people even say that. So there's just nothing – but I think if he can get past that fully, and I really think he can with how strong he's already been. So because, man, that guy – he's a really good. I like him a lot, man. I really do.
He's such a sweetheart. From everything I've seen with him, Chris Van Vliet, you know, and all that. He's just a really genuine soul, and it's unfortunate. He's just a victim of circumstance, and you know, some people punish him for, like I said, the last few moments of his father's life, and it's very unfortunate because his father was probably one of the most respected people in wrestling before that happened. I grew up as he was one of my favorites, admittedly, growing up. So that's why I'm very passionate, because when I was young, my three favorites were, you know, Steve Austin, Benoit, and Goldust growing up. He happened to be one of those, you know, and it's just very, very unfortunate, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
But I won't keep you too long. I just wanted to, like I said, I have stuff to do here at DHS, but I wanted to pop in whenever I get the chance. And like I said, if you ever need a co-host for the gaming stuff, let me know. I'll always help you out if I'm around.
No, thank you. Your creator wrestler is great. I did quite well last week.
Yeah, I watched the stream. You beat CM Punk at the Chamber.
I won the main event. I think I went 3-3 for the day, but the moves, I'm definitely like it, the move set way better than what I was playing with before, so thank you.
Let me take you to my training boot camp. I'll get you like at the game, dude.
I got to start learning combos. I'm now at the point I'm getting comfortable with it, so I'm going to start, like, I'm only going to get better, so.
That's what I'm saying, and like I said, you know, I'm always a DM away or anything. If you just need a little help with something, I'll come help you.
You're the best. Thank you very much. Get your stuff done, and I look forward to having you back on.
Alrighty. I'll try and be on the next one. Take it easy.
Take it easy. Good deal. Thank you. Take a look at the chat real quick. I'm seeing a lot of people saying Booker T accepted my challenge. That's great if so, because then hopefully, we, you know, I always said I wouldn't go back to WWE. What I would do is I would go back for one fight now that they're owned by Endeavor. I think that there would be no issue getting an MMA sanctioned five-minute round fight for one of the pay-per-views, right? With that, we'll see. He's under contract there, right? And he wants to defend them every which way with everything, and he chose to get involved in my issues with them. So we'll see what happens with all of that. I don't know about anything else. Haven't heard what he said exactly. So once I know more on that, we could say. But I think that's something that, because I would never wrestle there. But a fight with that, because I'm at the point with everything I'm dealing with that, that I think people would be interested in that. So we'll see what his take is on that. With somebody saying, he said on the spot. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'm not like, it's like he can do whatever he wants to try to do or whatever he thinks he's going to do. So it ain't happening. It ain't going his way. I could tell you that much. So he like, I know he said his shit, said his bullshit. I tried to be the bigger person and have a conversation. And then he was a little bitch once again, saying that I was making demands. So that's what that is with it. We'll see. That's just where I'm at with it. He could have picked up the phone at any point in time. His brother was the cool one. His brother always has been with that. And Booker wants to be a little kiss ass to WWE and all that shit. Good luck with all of that. We'll see how they treat you. We'll see how they treat you when it's all said and done. I know how they'll treat you. You've got one way that needs to go for you with it. So I think the, we'll see. I said I'll never go back to WWE. So I think we'll do it though for a fight with Endeavor on a WWE live premium live event. He's under contract. You don't think Vince wouldn't take advantage of that? Come shut me the fuck up, Booker. With it, it's me versus WWE, you representing them. How does that sound with it? I'm sure we can get a charge. We can get in contact with my agent, and we can get this all situated really, really quickly, really easily. How much time do you need? We'll get it all worked out with it. So we can make some really cool stipulations, too, once I see how serious you are. But my thing is this. If you don't know about a situation and you're going to take shots, you know, multiple times, and you don't know how, you don't have all the facts, and, you know, you maybe should just shut the fuck up. And I'm not the only one that's telling you that. There's a lot of other people. You're a little corporate kiss ass suck up to them. And, you know, I know you get your paycheck from them, but brother, you got involved in business. That's not yours. This is real life. This ain't an angle. So it's like, just maybe just shut the fuck up. But like I told you, let's fight. That's where I'm at with it. You've dropped that multiple times when somebody talks shit. You're all about that, right? All those are fighting words. What you've said multiple times are fighting words. I don't respect you either anymore. I was always very kind to you. Always spoke very highly of you. Fuck you. That's how I feel about you. Fight me, bitch. You want to get involved? You want to lie to people saying I'm making demands? Fight. That's it. Moving on. I'm sure old Vinnie Mac, though, Hunter, Tin Man, you guys can get that deal done with Endeavor, and we'll put it all on the line. Bring on Bradley.
What's up, Ryback?
Not much. How are you doing today, bud?
Doing great, pal.
What's on your mind?
I just have this little cover. I have this little rendition I wanted to share with you. I just want to get your approval. I want to see if you thought it was badass.
What is it, a song?
Oh, yeah. Ready for this, pal?
Oh, we're going to remove Bradley. I don't think he doesn't sound like he's all there. Thank you, Bradley. I'm gonna politely decline. Your use of the word pal is thrown me off. We've got Brandon.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Right back. What's up, man? How are you?
Not bad. How are you, brother?
Man, it's going to be tough to follow that one, man. Screw girls off the
file,
that one.
Yeah, if you don't have a cover for it, I should have. I know there's probably some curiosity. Part of me was a little curious, but his use of the word pal, just I feel like it's not going to be.
Yeah, and I hear you. So I'm actually going to be hanging out to Vegas in a couple weeks for my first time. I'm pretty pumped up.
Good deal.
Wanted to ask you if you had any spots, any places you like to eat, any favorite casinos, anything that you'd suggest.
I've lived here my whole life, and I stay away from all that shit. So I don't know what I mean. Is where are you staying?
So we're going to be staying near the convention center. So I'm actually going on business. Don't know if I'm going to do a whole lot of gambling per se. I know it's like the hot spot for that, but just looking for kind of things to do at nighttime, when we're not working, So
I mean, yeah, I stay away from all the strip. You're going to be here with other people though, you said?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, the Sapphires is the strip club Disco Inferno works at, where he pretty much, I don't know his exact position, but I know he's pretty heavily involved. Where if you go there at night, there's a good chance you're going to run into the Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti over there. Spearmint Rhino is another strip club. That those are the two kind of popular ones as far as strip clubs go. Other than that, I mean, you're going to have options. I mean, there's a gazillion restaurants and different things, and some people like to just kind of bar hop and kind of just get a drink at every kind of different locations and walk from casino to casino. And you could kind of do that with some of the casinos, and they have different, the walkways into different things. Some casinos connect to other ones as well on all of that. So, I mean, it's no matter what you do, if you're going to have some drinks, you'll probably have a good time. If you don't drink, you'll still have a good time. I think it just depends what you're into.
Yeah, definitely excited to get into there. And then one other question, maybe this is part of getting older. I know, I think Shawnee was his name, with the other guy who was on here, talking about kind of getting older a little bit. A lot of our favorite wrestlers, it's crazy, AJ Styles, Sheamus, Natalya, a lot of them are in their 40s now. It's pretty crazy how fast time is flying. And even yourself, I think you're what, 41?
41 now, yeah.
Yeah, so it's do you think wrestling in your 50s, maybe not you in particular, but just in general, do you think that's just going to become a normal thing now? Just because maybe people are taking better care of themselves? Or do you think that's going to become a normal thing going forward?
Yeah, well, I think guys, a lot of the people prior, wrestled, Kevin Nash, I think, was still wrestling well into his 50s. And what happens, though, typically, obviously, and there's other promotions and things, what you'll see happen, you're going to see some guys retire, and it's going to happen. When the longer you've been around up there, and it's like the Big E thing, and he's still not back yet. We don't know what's going to come of that. And who knows if they're going to give him full clearance, and but that could have been it. And he'd had a nice career, and then the freak neck injury happened, but injuries and things. But so people may just Randy, the back situation, he goes and goes and goes, and all of a sudden he's out for a year. And we don't really know exactly what is he going to come back part-time? Is he going to be the same? But that process has started. And the older you get, where as far as when you've been up there and just keep going, and the wheels eventually just fall off. Some guys you'll see that they'll pop up an Impact or different places, or the guys will go have an indie run, or a lot of them that have been up there probably made great money where they could just stop, or maybe just do appearances. We're getting to that point. It is going to happen. And there will be some, I don't think it's going to be a lot of guys though, that somehow managed to keep pushing it maybe into their late 40s and even into their early 50s. It just depends. But the landscape changes up there every three to five years. You get a new crop of guys that kind of start coming in. Some of them make it, some don't. And, so it's that roster is already drastically different from when I was there with it. But there's still a lot of the same guys that were there when I was there, and they've done exceptionally well for themselves. But, with the style, with how demanding it is too, and guys, it just depends on how smart people are and how, I think it's possible guys can stay very there into their 50s if they take care of themselves. But that's a long ways away for a lot of them too, because a lot of them are in their early 40s or, but Cena, looked at what happened, slowed down. It was in the mid 40s there right before that. And he went really hard though, with his schedule, where it was and he realized probably with everything, it was time to kind of step away and from full time at least. And Brock is still going strong, but he's not there every week doing all the live events and everything. So he's able to keep going, and he should be fine going as long, because he's been really smart with how he's worked with that. I mean, it's really an individual case by case basis with the guys and what specific injuries they've had.
Definitely. And then from like a wear and tear basis, yeah, too, isn't it true like heels take more damage too, because they have to feed the comeback? Is that like a thing where it's like they're like, so they might not be able to last as long as like a baby face?
It depends. I mean, that's, again, that comes down to a case by case basis of how you're working. And, you know, the guys that work a more physical style, it's always going to be harder on them. You know, it depends too. If you're smaller and working, it works. A lot of it depends on who you've worked too. You know, I took a beating in the sense I had to wrestle the Giants a lot of times, the larger, because I was able to pick them up. And it was always like the Henrys and the Big Shows and the Canes and the Great Khalis. I wrestled those guys on live events a lot. And like, so I was actually taking way more bumps than I would normally take when I was working smaller guys with it and lifting them up. So that took a toll. Like, and that's not easy working really, really heavy guys. So if you just scale that down, though, it depends on the guy, who the size of guys that they're working. And like, you know, if you're a small guy working, you know, say Otis, and you're working, but you're putting 15, 20 minute matches in every week. And I'm not like, I love Otis, but he's a large guy. Or the Bronson Reed, he's a large, heavy guy with that. If you're working guys like that every weekend and taking a lot of bumps, and like, it definitely takes its toll on that, on you with that. So, but there might be some guys that are just that they've worked, they get paired up with good guys where it's they're able to really take care of themselves and they don't really have any major things happen. And it's so unpredictable. It's hard just to say this or that. I think both baby faces and heels in this day and age are bumping so much anyways, where the comeback is a short part of the match of only, you know, a few bumps usually. So
yeah, definitely. And before I jump off, I just wanted to share probably my favorite Ryback moment was when, you know, we saw Mick Foley getting beat up in the back, and, you know, remember the camera cut to you when you came to save him? I don't remember that.
Wait, which was this?
I think this is like when Mick Foley was getting beat up. I think this is when you were feuding with Punk.
Yeah.
And he was CM Punk, I think, was beating up Mick Foley in the back, and then all of a sudden the camera cut, and like somebody saved them, and then the camera cut to you. It was pretty cool. I remember that. This got to be like 2011, maybe 2010. This is a while ago.
Yeah. No, that had to have been 2012, probably. With yeah, the so Foley stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Man, it was really cool. I got to do some stuff with Foley on multiple occasions up there too. I was always really happy about it. He was always really good with me, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, so I'm going to drop off. I'll let somebody else jump on. Rebecca, thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome, brother. You have a good one. Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, Brandon. Good to see all of you in here. Take a look at this account real quick. All right, bring on a new caller here. Tiago Giraldus. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Ryback Show. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing well. How's your day?
At work, spending 12 hours at work. Not a good way to get richer, but, well, you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
So, I was listening to you talking about Booker T and how he's been a bitch again. Don't get me wrong for saying this, dude. I'm probably the only fan you have in my country because my country decided to crap on wrestling altogether.
What country is that?
Portugal.
Okay.
So, just to get clear, you do know that Booker T nowadays is basically compared to Jim Cornette, right? I mean, the guy loves the sound of his own voice, and he just follows the directives given to him by his boss, Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Given the fact that WWE treated you like crap and treated you the way they did and had you go through all of that crap to get your name back and your rights back,
yep.
it doesn't make sense in my point of view, and I might be wrong, but it doesn't make much sense for me to see you go out of your way in calling out Booker T, because the guy simply doesn't deserve your attention. You should, in the way I see it, and call me out if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But you should be focusing your attention on more important things, on your career.
Oh, I am too, just so you know.
Yeah, but the way I see it is because in the end, you ended up making a bigger name for yourself outside of WWE, and you made yourself keep alive in everyone's memories.
Yep.
And just for your work. So honestly, comparing what you did to what and what you're doing right now to what Booker T is doing right now, there's no comparison whatsoever. The same way, like, I believe you made a tweet replying to something Goldberg said about your athleticism or something like that. I don't remember what the crap he said.
Yeah.
Dude, there's no comparison, honestly. The way WWE portrayed you, you were just this really big, massive guy slapping big guy meat. outside of that, if you're just being you, and you said it yourself, you've been working on your cardio, you've been feeling good yourself, there is no point in just replying to someone that actually ended up almost killing The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, there always takes two to tango on that, and that match is very important for me on various reasons, and I that the Goldberg match is something I really want. It's going to be a really big thing that will allow me to show the differences for the people in the two of us. So, but I understand your concerns, and I can tell you this: I have no concerns. So I know who and what I am and what I'm capable of. You know, the Booker stuff is unfortunate. I think we all can see what's going on, and I already know what's going on with all of it. And I always spoke very kind. If you listen to this show, I am pro wrestlers and will speak. I think whether like LA Knight, I think LA Knight is doing amazing. I want to see them strap the rocket to LA Knight. And I want to see, cause he's getting organically over. And it's like, I'm not one of these guys that like, oh, because my situation ended up the way that it did with it, where like, I want to see everybody do bad. I want to see everybody do as good as possible with it. I know who and what I am, and I believe if I can come back into the game, I'm going to have more success than ever, and I don't need to try to take away or talk bad about other people. I always spoke good about Booker, and Booker chose to get involved in a situation he knew nothing about. So, but you have to understand, for me, and I'm dealing with a stalker, and I've got to make calls to the FBI. This has been taking up a lot of time the last month of my life, 3-4 weeks with all of this, because of people like that and what he's doing. There's people out there that follow and listen to these guys with their careers. They are creating unnecessary hate in my life. So that is where, and I tried and reached out and being the bigger person and go, let's have a conversation. And we all saw what he did with this. So you have to understand, there just comes a point where you just got to go, all right, let's just fight. This is where, but that's the only way to move past it. Since you don't want to, they told you you can't talk to me or this and that. You want to try to hurt me and my brand further after all this bullshit that's already gone on. That's just where I'm at with it. I think a lot of guys, what the problem in wrestling, and this is, you know, you can't back down from things like that. And you can't let just people, you know, he had a great career and he's done a lot in the business. I will never talk bad about any of his accomplishments and the things he's done. I will talk bad about him choosing to get involved on something that he knew nothing about and speaking out against things that he should not have been speaking out against. And if he wants to get in that fight, that's up to him on that. I've stated what I've stated. This can all get done through his boss, through WWE, with Endeavor now owning them. So we'll see how serious he is.
All right, dude. All right. I understand your point of view. I honestly do. I mean, you and I both know he's not going to get into a ring with you and get into a fight with you. It doesn't matter if it's you.
So, but here's the thing. WWE. I'm willing to, and he needs to be able to back it up if that's how he truly feels. And WWE, he's going to find out. He says WWE, he'll work there another 15 years if he whatever with it. He won't work there a day longer when it goes the way that it's going to go with it. So we'll see. And they will use him in a heartbeat to try to get through to me. with it. And then Vince will tell him straight up, you lose, you're done with it. So we'll see. We'll see if he backs it up. I'm in. That sometimes it's just good. You got to, sometimes you got to put people up against the wall and say, you're going to talk, then okay, let's talk.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I've been in the ring before when there was still wrestling in Portugal.
Yeah.
When I was 16 and or 17, I remember having Kurt Angle in here.
Machine.
Working a small house show, and he gave me a lot of good advice. And one thing he always told me was, check your back, surround yourself with people you trust and you respect.
Yep.
And always watch your back, because there's a lot of people that will try and screw you over, and there's a lot of politics in this business.
Absolutely.
And yet I noticed that when I got injured, I got a shoulder injury that sidelined me indefinitely. So I haven't been in a ring for almost 20 years now. But yeah, I noticed that there was a lot of things going on in the background. And yeah, I believe that when it comes to Booker, it all goes down to politics. It's a way of being. By talking about you and talking about AEW like he does, he's been talking a lot of crap about AEW. He talked a lot of crap about Jon Moxley for leaving them.
You guys see what it is. You guys can. You're smart enough to see what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just trying to stay relevant, you know,
yeah,
while pushing everyone else that is, for some reason, has anything against WWE and against Vince McMahon and against the way that he treats most of his wrestlers that already left the company for whatever reason. His paper is just to make himself relevant and, yeah, push everyone else down.
Yep.
Basically.
I agree with you, brother. I appreciate your insight and look forward to having you back on, and hope work goes by fast for you today.
Thank you, dude.
Thank you very much. Good deal. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Got a super chat here. Rex Gardner, thank you. Hey, Ryback, you're in a club and a fight breaks out. Who would you save? One, King, two, Randy Orton, three, Dolph Ziggler, or four, JBL? Oh, I'm going to go with, I'm going to get my man Zigman out of there. So we can go grab some brewskis and hit up the club later. And also, if a fight breaks out, even though Ziggler is a well-accomplished amateur wrestler as well and very tough, I feel like him with the being a little bit on the – he's not small by any means, but compared to the other guys, or if he's standing next to me, he would – and having the blonde hair, people may try to take shots at him, so I would have to – I would make sure that the Zigman is all right. Take another call here. Bring on Matt. Hello, hello. What's going on?
Hey, big guy. How you doing, man?
I'm well. How's your day today?
You know what? It ain't bad. It's another day in paradise. What can I say? How about the love that your fans have for you? The last gentleman that was speaking, you know, just cool to see that you got people that give a damn about you. So that's got to feel pretty good. Had a fun idea. A couple rapid-fire questions for you that'll be short and to the point.
Okay.
Favorite cut of steak, and how do you like it cooked?
I'm a medium guy as far as how I like it cooked. If I'm eating a steak at home, it's typically I usually get like a sirloin. I order a bunch of sirloins with my groceries every week with lean chicken breast. If I'm going out to eat, you know, I love a good ribeye. Uh-oh, we're getting it's a little static there. Usually like going out, I mean, I love a ribeye or even the sirloin still. I will tell you the best steak I ever had though was when I was with Ziggler and Justin Roberts at, it's called Strip Steak in the Mandalay Bay, I believe. And that was early in February when Ziggler was here and Justin Roberts, February or March when they were here. We had this Wagyu steak. It was like a Wagyu cut. It was the greatest steak I've ever had in my entire life. So,
oh yeah, Wagyu is so fun to cook, but so careful to mess with.
Yeah.
Other rapid fire one for you. You're in a plane crash. Plane goes down. You're stuck on a desert island for a minimum of 30 days. Who do you have with you? Ziggler, Barrett, Phoenix or Kendra Lust?
Oh, fuck. Well, we're going to, I'm going to go Phoenix on that. Yeah, that's in all fairness. And 30 days ain't too bad though. So any of those would have been, but Phoenix, if I get two Phoenix and Kendra, Dolph of them can see me when I get fucking back. I just talked to Phoenix earlier. She gets back into town this week. So I'll hopefully see her this week.
Favorite breed of dog?
Man, I love the Frenchie and the Bostons, but I had pit bulls all growing up that were great dogs. I just love dogs in general, man. But I Sophie and Little Guy are the two biggest characters I've ever had. Like I love Frenchies and Bostons together. Their personalities are so awesome together. It's so tough. But I like Frenchies in general, though. I just think whenever I love watching the Frenchie videos on Instagram. They're just the cutest fucking dogs to me.
Very cool. All right. Then last question I'll have for you before I let you go. This one will require a little bit more thought. My friends and I got into a little bit of a wrestling debate, and my argument was that your character, skeletal structure only, was the same kind of character as Goldberg, Warrior, Brock Lesnar, just an evolution of that unstoppable powerhouse, but it changes when the wrestler themselves does the input, that coat of paint, in Warrior's case, the face paint, the tassels.
Yeah.
In Goldberg's case, kind of that attitude that he brought with it. And Brock, too. Brock was more closer to Goldberg, I felt, than your character was,
yeah,
to be honest with you. So am I talking out of my ass with that, or is that kind of the same? Are you guys kind of, I guess, an evolution of the same type of character on a very basic level?
I understand your reasoning and your point on that. I'm just trying to get there was never any directive on the character for me with people. Like, so I was just simply put in situations of go out and get over and used my input of what I thought that would get over. And then producers that helped along the way that gave a little insight. And then I got the catchphrases and the things that they started coming and, I don't know. It's tough because I think there's so much that goes in, I still to this day though, think Goldberg was probably in Brock as well, but Goldberg was protected as far as for the time length of that character for where and then he disappeared for a while and came back to WWE, but his WWE run, the first one, was not like the WCW run either. But they still stayed true to a lot of his positive characteristics, and he never wrestled overly long matches with that. Whereas I think maybe early on that I could see their point on the very similar booking as far as an early on standpoint. But I got put in long matches a lot longer than people, those other guys outside of Brock. Brock has worked long matches this whole time, pretty much pay-per-views depending on who he's working with it. But I don't know. Like I think the early on version, yes, but as time went on, I think there were definitely a lot of differences. But like they don't book, like I tell you people this, I wouldn't ever want to be a monster character in wrestling ever again. I don't think it'd be, unless you get behind it, you got to have a clear, it's like the Wardlow booking. Wardlow was going and they had it going. They could have rode that as far as they wanted to with this. But they chose to get away from it because I think they think in this day and age that it's not worth it. That the short term success of it has more damage long term, because then you can't. It's really hard to transition out of it. And we saw that those struggles with Goldberg a bit. On like as far as when you beat guys in such a quick fashion for too long, then you start having to go longer matches. It could be like there's just like a disconnect for people unless there's a strong character change, which we really haven't seen. So,
I can see your point with that, because you and Brock both had to really work. You guys were put in those longer match situations and much more physical, faster in your debuts. Because I think you came back in 2012, just after Mania 28, if I'm not mistaken, and then had your run up until Punk, where you were undefeated, and then Punk shenanigans and Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
But like until you got to the cell, you were still getting physical, it seemed like, but where you had, I think the difference between you and Goldberg is you were stacking up guys like they were candy, man. You were working 2 or 3 guys at night.
Yeah.
And Bill didn't really have that. He kind of had the squash match situation, and then he got the title and had to go a little bit longer with Regal and stuff, and he sort of was exposed at that point for his skill set at the time. Where Brock, with the NCAA background that he had, and then you giving it your all and everything, I almost feel like that'd be a more interesting match. But your story with Goldberg is far more interesting, too.
The story is what's going to be. And so I can't tell you guys too much. All I can tell you is have faith in me. I've thought about this for a long time. It's the perfect thing for the return and the ending. It is. And I have the vision that I have. So much good can come out of this and will come out of this for literally everybody involved, that I just think once, and that will be for me and Bill to talk about when I get to talk to him here on everything. And then and we'll go from there with it. But I understand your reasoning, and like, I'm looking at this from just every little aspect. And there's a lot of things that I want to get accomplished with this that I will be able to get accomplished, that without having to tell you too much, that for me, I get this. I am so highly motivated to get this done. Because it's going to be good all the way around. But the, you know, Goldberg too, and what you're talking about, like the Regal, but you got to understand too, back in that day, like there was, so WCW, and I wasn't there, but just from what I was told and knowing different people, it was a different time and a different environment. Matches were not as well structured at times. With things, that things were a little more chaotic, you know. The directives were, and Regal's talked about it, like, he's told one thing, Goldberg might have been told another thing. Like, there were communication errors that were going on at that time as well, from what I understood there. So, like, that was just pretty much that. That's not a good reflection of like what Goldberg necessarily knew. It was that match was completely off. Just, there's just times where things just fall off the rails. And like, if matches are not well planned out, and like, I would say at that point, Goldberg was more than good enough to do well laid out matches. And things, but he's going in there, and a guy like Regal was kind of told maybe something different, and there's like, you start kind of butting heads with that, and so that, you know, it was just a thing that happened, and that could happen to anybody if things are a mess and whatnot. But like, I understand like what people talk about. He was put in positions though to go out there and do short matches to, like, my thing was what I was doing, and I was doing, they were shorter matches but with multiple guys and doing a lot more planned out stuff to keep things on track. And then I got put in the thing with Punk. And even then, Vince McMahon wanted everything 10 minutes or less. He didn't want me in the ring over 10 minutes because I was doing such short matches. They wanted to try to gradually increase that so that people had time to adjust with it. And you know, but it's a difficult thing. You know, Goldberg did that for a longer period of time. Cause I think mine was maybe about 5-6 months of that stretch, maybe a little long, maybe 7, right around that though, where Goldberg was, I don't know if it was a year and a half or 2 years, kind of, it was pretty drawn out. I felt like, things.
It was, cause he had the house show loops that he was doing that on too. And if you remember watching Nitro, it'd be, he's 78-0 one week, then 178-0.
They definitely, adjust. So it made it way more, that wasn't accurate from what I understand. Right.
You know, if you read Bret Hart's book and some of the other guys' books from when they worked in WCW, clusterfuck is an apt description. But it also felt like, you know, especially when you listen to Goldberg's side of the William Regal match and then hear what he and DDP both say about their Halloween Havoc match, I think you're dead on right, where Regal was given directive A, Goldberg's given directive B.
Yep.
And, you know, Bischoff is sitting in the background going, okay, let's just see what happens here. You know, there's different things with it. You can see the skill that Goldberg has. I think with Taker's match that he had with Taker in Saudi, there was a mix of a lot of different factors with it. You know, I've never been to Saudi Arabia myself, but there's the heat and stuff that I've heard reports on that can really drain the guys when they're in the ring.
Absolutely.
A lot of different things with that. Taker's condition at the same time, too, though, you know, I've never been in the kind of shape that either those gentlemen have been in. But there's a lot of different factors with it, I think. So, mm-hmm. there, you know, and with Goldberg and your story, that's the thing that I always come back to that is so cool to me. And I'm not asking you to tell me anything. I want that under wraps so I can enjoy it as a fan. But that's the fun part for me, armchair booking with my buddies, is the story and how Goldberg ends up facing you in the ring, or how you end up facing Goldberg in the ring. That's the cool part. The match is going to be awesome and off the chain, but I would argue and probably be able to make a solid argument that you versus Brock, not that it would be a better story, but it would be potentially the better and arguably more physical match just because of how explosive you two are. But Goldberg's just as explosive too at times.
I think, but the thing is you have to understand, and I'm not going to say too much here, but I'm going to say enough, is that I've given a lot of thought and people are never going to give me the credit for what I think the creative aspect and how much I do know wrestling wise. I know though. And so I'm very good at looking and watching, and I've watched Bill for a long time. I know what Bill can do, and I know what Bill can't do, and I know what I can do, and I know what I don't do with it. And I know how to do this match and tell the story that needs to be told, and to make this into where I know what to do with this, where I believe I could have Goldberg's best match of his entire career. I stand behind this. I really, really believe this with this, even coming back and I understand. And I know the effort that I put into things, and I know what I have on the line with all of this. I do think with Brock being younger with that, and I know what you're talking about. I do agree. I think that's a different match with that. Oh, yeah. And I think that is everything that you said it would be with it. But I think if I just say, just sit back. And if I can get this, if I can work my magic and get this done, this is going to be something very, very special in multiple ways. And it's very easy to shit, like, not you, but like people will shit on, and then others. I just say, just let it play out, and let me work my magic, and let me see if I can do what I have a good feeling I know I can do. So
you said it right there, though. You know what Bill can do, and you know what you can't do. You know what you can do, and you know what you can't do.
Yeah,
that right there is enough to be like, okay, that I want to be a longer match. Where like you and Brock, I want a train wreck.
Yeah,
I want just two giant Mack trucks smashing into each other, versus you and Goldberg. That's a tape. That's a story. That's something that we can
see. And it's a story, and I want you to understand that, you know. So one of my favorite Rocky movies, and all the Rocky movies are great. One of my favorite ones though was Rocky V with Tommy Gunn in it, in Rocky.
Yeah.
In the fight scene at the end where Rocky was old and retired, and Tommy Gunn was the big bad fucking guy that nobody thought could, and they had, like, I love that movie with a passion. And that, and I'm not going to tell you too much, but I can just see there's a great story of Goldberg being 56 and still, and it just I want you to think along the lines of Rocky with this. And I really believe I could be the Tommy Gunn to get him to get that one last performance out of him, the way to motivate. It needs to be someone that can motivate him to put in the work to show up one last time to be Goldberg. And I really think I can get that out of him.
Man, I'm looking really forward to it and pulling for you on it. I'll let you go because we could talk each other's ear off about wrestling all damn day. I got to let other callers have that.
All right, brother. I appreciate you as always, and you have a good one. You're always welcome on.
Take care, bud.
Take care. Good deal, Matt. Always appreciate your insight on everything. Take a quick little look at the chat here, guys. With everything, guys, today I'm going to end up because I've got to make a few phone calls here with everything going on. I appreciate all the love and support from all of you. We will dive more into some other things tomorrow on another Ryback show. Please check out my Feed Me More Nutrition on feedmemore.com. New customers save 30% discount code Ryback30. Returning customers save 20% discount code Feed Me20 on that, and a free shaker bottle with all orders. Feedmemore.com. Have a great day, ladies and gentlemen. Work hard, be good human beings, and until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more.